Good morning, good morning, good morning. What's good? Welcome back to another episode of A&M, where no break next week is Dirty Talk. And unfortunately, we didn't get that
There,
this
we have a
week.
break
We
next week.
definitely have a break, and it's I don't blame him. This is a very the way this chapter ends is very Oda's way of going into a break, which is let me give you guys something groundbreaking, and then just don't talk to me for about 14 days. And it's like, okay. I'm already dealing with like my I got off my Thursday kick, which I transitioned pretty well. I feel like I didn't feel
Are
too much
we
of a difference.
officially done Thursday with Thursdays for now?
I'm probably TCB having all the issues they had and still busting this chapter out on Friday. I think it's kind of a minor miracle. And if you read about how serious Japan is taking it, it's like now this number is obviously they're trying to scare people, but to some degree it's true. Between everything that leaked and the guys inside Shonen that were releasing stuff, there's somewhere of upwards of like 400 years of prison time. Now, that number is obviously inflated and they're trying to scare people, and it depends on how many people. No, they're not going to be 400 years served for all of them, but they
I
are
don't know.
really cracking down on don't fuck with One Piece. That's all I've
Don't.
learned the past 2 weeks. It's
Yeah,
like just
they said don't leak the void century.
that's see, and that makes I'm not upset with that. The fact that like this is it's such a coveted story. It's such a like so many people want to know the ending of this. And so to have these chapters get leaked, I understand it's a little more, you know, it's a little more high importance. Like, fine, you leaked. I don't know what's a I'm trying to think of like what's a dud kind of chapter to leak. I won't even say it died. I got spoiled. The last chapter I got spoiled on was Blackbeard showing up at Amazon Lily, right? And I was upset about it because it was still to me, it was still a really cool moment. But realistically, it's like not the worst chapter to get leaked. Like Rayleigh coming back, like was cool for a moment, but it's like he doesn't do anything. He's just Rayleigh, you know, he's old.
I think it's less about like I don't know, like I see it more of like I don't. I mean, there wasn't this kind of crackdown with the Attack on Titan ending. You know what I mean? And like, I think it comes down to like, are people searching for it? And are people in Japan finding out like over Saturday, Sunday when it releases Monday? Like, that's the crackdown, I think. So I think like us getting it on Thursday, I think I said this last week. If the chapter comes out in Monday in Japan, that's Sunday our time. You're gonna tell me nobody in Japan is going to talk about this until it's released the subsequent Sunday
Oh
in
yeah.
America? You're out of your mind. That's so dumb.
Yeah,
That's
we'll
so unrealistic to think about, you know? So I even if it got quote unquote leaked for us early on Thursday, it's like that's Shonen Jump America that has to deal with it.
Yeah.
If it right, like, and at that point, people in Japan are also just talking about it because it's been out for 5 days. You
No,
know what I mean? Like, even if you block it, you're not gonna, like, if someone took a picture of it and put it on X or Twitter or whatever you want to call it, whatever Tesla, whatever, you know, like whatever you
just
want to
puts it
call
on their
it.
Tesla and drives off with it.
Yeah, like you can't stop someone from doing that.
No, 1,000%.
You
This
know,
is
like
the people they're really pissed off about, which I understand from like even the business part of like they're more pissed off about the two guys who had insider knowledge, and they were getting when you're on the team and you know, I mean, hell, what, 1, 2, possibly 3 weeks in advance for some chapters, then yeah, you spoiling stuff and putting that out there, okay, that's a bigger deal. Like that's a breach of trust, especially for the way these kind of circles work. Like I'd be pissed off too. Like, and I know Oda's one of the nicest people in the world, and he's not
no,
damning anyone or
he doesn't fucking deal with this. He has like his Pinkertons go out and deal with it.
yeah, it's like,
He's
but
like
if you
I
were,
employ a kill squad.
yeah, so it's like
I don't my hands are clean.
correct. It's like But if you're in him, I understand of like, look, they're like, you're at that point, you're breaking, like, you're literally breaking his trust. Like, he has X amount of people and even the former editors and stuff, like, you've got to sign off on shit where it's like, yo, just because you no longer work on this, you have information that if you put it out to the public, it literally destroys a multi-million dollar IP. So it's like, I understand why the two guys who are going to see massive prison time are the two guys who are in the inner circle where editors, like, they'll see actual prison time because they essentially compromised what is the highest selling or the most valuable IP in Shonen Jump. So them, I understand why they're going to crack down super hard on them. I think the people that were like lackeys and doing some of the stories are hilarious of like people literally like on their lunch break, like getting handed a fucking piece of paper, like it's a bad sitcom, and then walking out of Shonen Jump and it's like, oh, this is page 6 of chapter 1107.
That's so funny.
It's like, that shit, like, you're not going to crack down on those people because they essentially are just, they're just civilians at that point. And it's like you said, you can't stop a civilian from reading it Sunday in Japan and posting a picture and being like, holy shit, Luffy just did this.
Right. Like, Gear 5, like, not being leaked.
No, that's impressive.
Like, you know what I mean? I'm like, yeah, like, I don't know. I think I can't help but think that the internet's kind of blowing it out of proportion a little bit. This isn't the first time that like they've cracked down on scan sites, and it'll probably not be the last, especially if this saga goes on for another 9 years. You know, like, it's annoying not to get it Thursday, but I also have things to do, so. If I wait till Sunday.
You get that for me, it fucks me for about like all of 2 minutes. And it's normally like right after reading the chapter. And I'm like, fuck, I wanna know what happens next. Oh fuck, we don't get until Sunday. And then about 5 minutes later, I'm like, oh yeah, I've got other things I need to do, life, etc. And it's like,
yeah,
I will generally forget about it until it's like, normally it doesn't really, because I've even caught I'm not even like this chapter. I think you were the first one to hit confirm this week. It's like, I'm not getting to it potentially until a couple hours. Cause if it's not as soon as I'll normally check when I wake up to see if they got an early release. But if I don't get the early release, I'm normally not getting to it until lunch or after work that day. So it's like,
yeah, like I was driving all day yesterday. I'm like, if you know, or even on Friday, like I was driving pretty much all day Friday. It just worked out where I read it in the morning.
Yeah. All right, with that being said, chapter 1109. Let's do some screen sharing here. We're gonna share all the porn starting in 3, 2, 1. Oh,
look, it's your computer, fool. Like, I don't even think that's that far off.
Look at the pornography. Look at this. I got old man scientist, the dirty things to robot.
Before we get into this chapter, can you go back one? I really want to talk about the cover story.
Oh, Onigashima finally falling?
Well, no, it fell, right? And then it went, like, this is where it ended up.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, what do you think this cover story is going to be about? Like, and I think it's important we should start thinking about the cover stories. Because I think a lot of them have set up future things. I think Enel's storyline comes to mind. There was one with Vivi, or there's one that talked about like in Alabasta. It was one of Enel's people made his way to Alabasta. And like created a tunnel that escaped, doesn't escape, but he created a tunnel that went from one island to Alabasta.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone were to say, erase Alabasta from a map, there's an escape route to another island that nobody really knows about. We're also in the final saga, and this could potentially be one of the last cover stories.
It could. So one of the things I think for me is like, yes, there's A, if you go out throughout the history of One Piece, I think most of the cover stories end up being either inconsequential or they're just little funny side note things Oda does on like, hey, I'm just like, I'm pretty sure, don't quote me 100% on this, but I think Foxy's got a cover story and it's literally just Foxy doing random shit. Buggy's
Oh,
cover
good to know.
story, like the first one, is him like Buggy lost and trying to find his body parts. Like
Yeah.
it matters because it's like, oh, okay, I guess Buggy did find his body parts. It also wouldn't be that big of a deal if it was literally just one panel and it was like, oh yeah, Buggy searched the world or searched his island looking for his body parts and found him. And that's why he's back together. So they kind of feel like some of them are fun little side ideas and Oda just completely connecting every dot in his world. I know the Germa one was huge because technically the Germa's cover story is how we originally got Stussy because she was standing the other way. And that was right after we got young Vegapunk, Queen, what's his, what's, I never remember Sanji's dad name.
Judge.
Yeah. And so you got that and you got to see like the dynamic of like, you got to see like during these cover stories of like how they started, what they were doing. And then even like the distaste for Vegapunk as he was moving to a different space scientifically. I think we even saw him with the elders first on a cover story. I don't remember if that was, I don't remember if our first time seeing Vegapunk with the elders was in the cover story or in the actual chapter.
The reason why I think about this, I'm like, this is such an interesting cover story to me, or has potential to be really interesting. This is where Pluton is,
Okay, so we're thinking the same thing.
right? This is where Pluton is. That's real big.
Well, it's huge because it's
It's
also.
also, we also are inside Wano at this point, right? Like, we're below the surface. A couple of other really powerful things got kind of knocked below the surface.
Do we think Big Mom and Kaido were in here?
Maybe that's where
That's.
we're going with it, right? So again, I'm like, Big Mom and Kaido accidentally stumbling into, I mean, like, Jack coming in and saving Kaido and Big Mom isn't that far off.
It's interesting. I'm so this is one of those I kind of want I this catches intrigue immediately, right? So it's you I kind of want to see what the next like I'm assuming he's going to do the part two to this next week or yeah next week now in real time but 2 weeks I guess from the time of the release. Because it is interesting. I agree that there's all this has massive potential, especially if we get the continuation of the last 2 to 3 years, most of the cover stories have almost immediately come back into the story. Because I think even 3 years ago was when we got the Cipher Pool cover story, where you got the they failed CP9, and so they were hunted by the government, and then they ended up getting they killed assumedly the people that were hunting them. And then got back into Cipher Pool.
How long ago do you think that was?
I could have my years totally fucked up. I want to say 3 to 5 years ago, I thought we got that.
So I'm reading the Paramount War right now, Justin.
And is that where it's at?
And I believe that's where like that's
The Cipher Pool cover story, them
that
getting hunted.
Cipher Pool, I think, ended even before that because the cover story during Paramount War is. And a little before Paramount War is what are the Straw Hats doing?
Okay, I
So
could be.
Cipher Pool is like a like 10, 15 years ago.
I wanted to say, and I realized my numbers even fucked up here because I thought the Cipher Pool cover story was at the either middle or end of Dressrosa, which I also
No.
realizing in real time is still 6, 7, 8 years away.
So the last one that I thought was really interesting was Aokiji getting pudding.
Yeah, that one's from last year.
That was like a very quick, like, oh, we were literally just there and we got a payoff on it. And like the chapter ended with
Yeah.
pudding getting taken. So I don't know. I think there's a lot of
there's a lot of potential.
I saw this and I was like, the chapter has to give me Void Century info, or this is going to be the most interesting part of it. And I didn't get it.
A pretty good job
of not giving me Void Century. Yeah.
But it did pretty good. Yeah, man. Starting off now, this might not be technically going in chronological order, but this has been the great debate on the internet. And I said this, I don't remember if I said in the episode or if I said in the group chat. I think this is a real time video. And I'm even more confirmed on that in like my belief, because I don't think it's coincidence that it's the three Vegapunks who are dead are the ones on the video. Like,
you think they like uploaded their, this I think is like a, this is Punk Records
displaying this, because once a satellite is destroyed, because it almost makes too much sense even for the way Vegapunk does everything else. Like, when a satellite's destroyed, whatever it had at the end of its life, and I'll even like throw in like potential jokes, which is Shaka might even be like a corrupted data going back to it, because he did get shot through the head. So, you know, but like your data getting uploaded as a satellite back into Punk Records, which means you're technically fixable as long as Stella's alive. Now, Stella's dead. And I pretty, with this theory, I'm like pretty convinced Vegapunk is dead. Like, he's not
I was like, I said that last week. I was like, his life support's donezo, fam.
Yeah. I had a little bit of hope. And then I saw this and I was like, oh, it's, yeah, Kizaru got a good shot in there.
I was like, I don't know if Kizaru will have a turn of heart. I'm sorry. Kizaru can absolutely still have a turn of heart. He's killed his target. The government won.
He did.
He did do exactly what he said he was going to do. He's technically 2 for 3 on that.
Yeah.
I'm going to kill Fisher Tiger, and I'm going to kill the Straw Hats, and I'm going to kill Vegapunk. So he's doing pretty good.
And to be fair,
he's batting better than
666
most baseball players. So
yeah, and really, if you think about it, and he's got an excuse. There's a lot of jokes, and I was entertaining him too, of like Kizaru not killing the Straw Hats, like his biggest fuck up. Let's not forget, Kizaru was clearly, without question, strong enough to kill every single one of the Straw Hats during Sabaody. He was also literally stopped by...
He rolled Rayleigh.
He rolled Rayleigh, and then Rayleigh rolled Kuma Assist. And it's like...
Yeah, like, Kizaru rolled the Universal 1.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I don't know.
It's same thing when like Saturn
Dude,
said
he
like
was still getting shit from that. I'm in the Paramount War right now on a reread,
mm-hmm.
and when he sees Luffy, he's like, "Oh, the Celestial Dragons are still on me for not getting you back at Sabaody," mm-hmm. and I'm like, "Oh,
yeah,
I wonder if you're a Holy Knight, huh?"
What the fuck do you call it? It's, but Kizaru, at least for similar to Saturn a few chapters ago, when he was like, when Kizaru was on the ground the first time, and even Saturn was like, yeah, but I get it. Like, Nika's a pain in the ass. Like, I don't normally see you on your ass very often. So like, I understand. And to explain him, to excuse him from Sabaody, it's like, yo, why didn't you kill them? Rayleigh showed up. Okay, I get it. We understand. There's, you know, some things are excuses, some things are reasons. Rayleigh showing up and fucking up your mission, that's a reason. Well, what happened when Rayleigh left? Yeah, Kuma shot him across the planet, I think. It's like, oh, okay. Yeah, so I think this is, but I think this is a live stream, which is why it's the three, quote unquote, not even quote unquote, the three dead Vegapunks or three dead satellites are the ones here. I also think this is kind of luck of the draw that, oh, I wanted to bring this up because, and this is just, I just want to get your perspective on this. I kind of said it last week, but I wasn't sure. And I brought up that I thought of Vegapunk made the Den Den Mushis. In Film Red, and I understand what I'm about to say
Oh, I
here,
see what, yeah.
she did say, Uta said she saw like a prototype Den Den Mushi made by Vegapunk. Now, that's not to say, and it kind of checks with his track record, that he has tried to essentially duplicate the man-made things and he's tried to make them more like improve them as because he's a scientist.
Yeah.
Theoretically, he made them, but I also think to get this signal off, I think they are, and they talk about it here where he's like, oh, use the Navy signal. I don't think that works without the Buster Call. I think the fact there's so many Den Den Mushi in one area. Like, I don't think that, because similar to Marineford, where it's like they're using the signals from all of them, which is however many they got set up, which is there's no exact number, but it's a lot. And that's what they do, like the global broadcast, because they wanted them to see it. They wanted the world to see that they executed Ace. I think this signal is only going to get out because of the fact there's what we got 100 battleship. Well, the Giants have sunk a lot. We got probably about like 50 battleships left still. The Giants have done a number on them.
They've done a few things.
So, but I think it's kind of ingenious because, like I said, if you think this is a pre-recording, which is what most likely it would be to just an average person, it's like, okay, well, you find where the recording's like, you find the recording. It's like, no, you literally have to destroy all of Punk Records or this will keep going. Like, fine, when you finally burn the island down, cool, then it's gone. Which I still think Egghead's fucked. Even if like the Straw Hats win this fight, I think Egghead is still fucking gone.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Like, there's just too much shit going on for this place to not be fucking. Not saying it won't still be a victory for the Straw Hats, but it ain't a victory for Egghead. It also makes it interesting because I believe it's in real time Vegapunk knows about Nika.
Yeah, I'm like really curious what this message to the world is going to be. If it is kind of like a void century dump, or if it is like, this is who Nika was, which would be, I think it's going to be that. This is who Nika is. Straw Monkey D. Luffy, or Nika has returned to the world or something.
There's a we got the we got Whitebeard saying, so Roger's obviously the prequel, right? We got the next big turning moment because Whitebeard goes, yo, the One Piece is real. Vegapunk saying Nika is real. Yeah, there'd be some need for explanation because the majority of the world probably doesn't know who he is, or at least views him as just a, I know some parts of the world, because Skypiea knew about him, that he was just this mythological figure, right? It's like coming out and saying, like, yo, Santa Claus is real. If you're under the age of 10 years, if you're under the age of 10, A, don't listen to us. B, Santa Claus is real, I promise. But I think there's a real reason for Nika to be a part of this conversation and a part of this broadcast. And it's gonna be fucking
Yeah.
great because Luffy's gonna go, the fuck's Anika?
He's like, no, I'm Brazilian.
He's gonna be so yeah, so then so he's getting that all set up and Vegapunk's like, yo, what if we just wait an hour? And Shaka's like, what if we don't? We probably don't have an hour. They are going to try to murder us again, but we're already
Yeah.
dead. They're going to murder us again.
Please, please, Father, please.
10 minutes sounds good, right? Let everybody get set up. Which I like, and that's just one of those things that I'm glad Oda's still doing to some degree in the final saga, which is like Oda gives time for things to breathe. It's not the normal anime trope of like, in 5 minutes, this is gonna blow up. No, it's like people actually, if you do some kind of emergency broadcast, you need to give people time to actually adjust and be ready for said emergency broadcast. You know, it's, I get it. Nowadays, it's like, it's the neat thing about phones is like you can get an emergency broadcast right then and there. It's like you get an Amber Alert. It's like, holy shit, child kidnapped, and your phone just starts fucking screaming at you. Then we get to the second page. Dorian Braggy is still fucking shit up.
Yeah, they are.
These guys are over fucking powered. Like, holy fuck. Like, what do you do with Giants in like the sake of
you cry?
Like, what do you do?
You don't fight them if you don't have to.
It's like, man. All right, they're trying to wake up Vegapunk. Vegapunk dead. Sorry, Sanji. We tried. Then we get the most broken
watch.
Ability.
He's gonna come back.
Fuck you. We get the most broken ability in all of One Piece, which is the five elders just don't talk. They can all just telepathically communicate with each other, no matter how fucking far away they are.
Yeah, I'm intrigued. I'm so excited to find out how they fucking work.
It's interesting too, because Emu used a Denden Mushi. So like when Emu called down to talk to them, like Emu was actually talking. Like he had to use whatever the fuck it is. Emu used a Denden Mushi to communicate with him. So I'm like, is Emu just somehow not in like the telepathic group chat? Like, is that how we do this? It's like, yo, y'all can talk to each other inside your head. I don't want to be a part of that shit. Or he got like blocked however many centuries ago. And they're basically doing a status report. And this is the most Gorosei thing we've ever seen them do, which is before Egghead, all we ever saw the Gorosei do was go, oh, shit's getting real bad outside. Yeah, we'll wait. And this is like the final report of like, ah, yo, shit's getting real bad outside. We'll wait. Oh, no, it's you got 3 weeks left in the semester. You're going to fail.
Wait, please.
We are out of time. Give me one. Cool. And so they're updating, and he's like, yo, Vegapunk dead? Yeah, I saw Kizaru stab him.
Good.
Okay, Kizaru killed him. He should be dead now. Okay, that's slightly different than what the scan said, but that's cool. Okay, so Kizaru killed him. He should be dead now. And they go, I think I saw it. So he left the message upon his own death, most likely. I'm trying to find the line. There's a line specifically that stuck out to me. If we can find the source of the transmission, I can't imagine this coming from anywhere but the lava phase in Egghead, and it's protected by that barrier. So 9.5 minutes. Oh, this I loved. So 9.5 minutes to kill. Now what? Why not have some coffee?
I think that's so funny. Like, AI spirit Vegapunk. Fuck. Like, that was what killed me in this chapter, was all like, because I didn't pick up on that. I thought this was a pre-recorded message.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're absolutely right. It's just like the dead ones that have been uploaded to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just them, like, it's just their AI going, this is what I would do right now. I would wait.
Like,
I think it's cool too. It fits in line with what the island is, right? The island of the future.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, yeah, no, like, if Vegapunk dies, I mean, he doesn't really die. He's uploaded his consciousness to his brain computer. So he's still technically there. This is the most Oda workaround for death. Makes me think he's actually dead, but like, we're going to have him on like a little computer.
Mm-hmm.
And like, he'll still be in the story that way.
Then we get the, so I think it's the remainder of this panel plus, I think probably the whole next page, which is just, I love this as a world check-in, by the way. We normally get these a lot of times pre or post arc. I love the fact that we get similar to the Paramount War, where it's like, oh shit, something's about to happen. You get to see the real live reaction of the world to like some groundbreaking shit. We go to Dressrosa, go to Luffy's hometown. Do you know, speaking of cover stories, that Alice girl that's Iceberg's secretary, she's a cover story.
Yeah. It was like, the catching up with the Grand Line.
Mm-hmm.
If I remember right.
Yeah, and Yeah, so she's in there letting everyone know, like she's letting Iceberg know. Morgans has a TV on his ship. Morgans has a bitchin' ship, by the way. I don't know if anyone's ever really pointed that out. Like, your boy's got it pretty fucking good. If he wasn't literally trying to fuck the world up all the time, like, your boy's living a really good life. Oh yes, we got West Blue, North Blue, South Blue. We're checking in, we're making sure everyone's good, everyone's about to hear what the fuck's about to be said. And then the OG of Ain't Doing Shit. Man, I love Dragon. At this point, like, Dragon just gotta hold out. I know this would ruin the character,
I
but
told
man, I hope
you,
Dragon goes the whole story without doing shit.
this is why when we were making our bingo card at the start of the year, I was like, he has to do anything. Like, I'm sorry, he has to do something story related. It was the Kakashi thing that I was like, in Boruto, I was like, Kakashi has to do literally anything.
Like, your boy is like, because think about it, at this point during this flashback, we know we've seen Dragon how he acts when a commander is kidnapped, when a commander dies. We've seen him when the most him doing something is him literally going, "We are no longer the freedom fighters, we are now the Revolutionary Army." And that's the extent of Dragon's contributions to this world. I now am so curious why he went from, like, I understand his ideology is why he's the most wanted criminal, but it's like, your ideology don't get you everywhere, bro. Like, you had to have done something at some point in your life, and just stopping Smoker from killing your son's not enough. Like, but that's the last active thing Dragon's done. Dragon grabbing Smoker's arm in chapter 100, whatever the fuck, is the most active he's been, and we're on 1109. Like, your boy is the king of, not my problem.
Can we talk about Kizaru's eyes?
Oh, that he shoots lasers.
He shot two lasers out of his eyes, and Luffy was like, yeah, that's fucking annoying. I saw that thing and whatever, or the Kizaru eye glint,
Down here at the
and
bottom.
I just went, whoever got to draw that was so excited. Like, Oda, I think Oda still draws the characters. You know he had a good fucking time.
Oh yeah.
It's like the equivalent of Luffy doing his eyes. I'm like, yeah, oh, Oda does that, and he does it for fun, for goofs.
I mean, technically his power, it's what he does. He shoots lasers or makes a sword or kicks. Like, he's fun to, he has figured out I could do three things really well with light. I can shoot beams, I can make a sword, and I can kick people. And that's about it. And that's good enough to
He
be an admiral.
was like, oh, I can fly pretty far too.
Flying is cool. Oh yeah, then I love all these attacks. Like, I love that it's not even, this is how you progress Gear 5 in a way that makes sense and is still silly, keeps the theme of it. Luffy's no longer just punching people. In Gear 5, he will still punch, but he's literally like, "What? How can I hurt you the most?" And he literally takes a Marine Admiral, a position that has been feared in this series for 1,080 chapters, and a Elder Star, who's one of the five people who run the world, and your boy just goes, and just fucking, like, DK slap, just goes, boom.
Yeah. Fucking Dawn symbol. I love this version. I love it when Luffy's trying to figure out like attacks and things, and it's like, I'll just do this.
He's a musician at heart. That's why he's got the symbol.
Is there anyone stronger than Luffy at this point?
For a 5 minute, I said this last week, for a 5 minute stretch, or however long Gear 5 is supposed to last, I think that isolated power is probably the strongest in the world. I still think if you go, like, top to bottom, which a lot of One Piece characters, like, the true sign of strength normally has been like, how long can you fight? That's been like the crazy strong people. I think Shanks probably is still stronger than him in terms of, I think Shanks is consistently him throughout the duration of the fight, as well as I think right now, I mean, if Kaido's alive and Kaido gets back to full stamina, I think Kaido's still stronger than him.
Be interested to see if Akainu could fight Luffy.
Yeah, that's the other guy who's
Because
up there.
it's like Luffy, if he grabs him, right, he doesn't necessarily stop Akainu from melting his hand.
I'm not sure because he's holding Kizaru. So I'm
He's
not sure how
holding
that
Kizaru,
works.
so I think Kizaru's not running away, but because Kizaru's still able to shoot his lasers,
His power's
like
not stopped.
it's not like he's negating the power. It's just that he can't escape. And so like Akainu wouldn't be able to escape, but I figured he could like increase his body heat to magma level, right?
Just magma's himself, and you can't hold that hot. Yeah.
So
I'd say Shanks, Akainu, probably Mihawk, and Luffy are probably like
yeah.
a little bit above everybody.
Which
And then
I'm
you.
like, again, I'm very excited to be playing on this level. Like, it's the idea of like, oh yeah, we have a literal like our main character can't do like he's unstoppable. So when something happens that puts Luffy in his place, it'll be a big deal. Cause
No, a thousand percent.
this feels like an emperor fucking around.
Oh yeah, and Blackbeard is close. And like I said, Blackbeard. So I think Luffy and Blackbeard, I would say, are like, I think we had them to. There'd be like four and five to me because I think their power works more in spurts, versus the other three. I think are just 24/7 like act like their baseline strong is stronger than everybody else's. Like I think Akainu, Shanks, and Mihawk are just always that like. Power level 10,000, and Luffy and Blackbeard can spurt up to that. Like when Blackbeard's cracking earthquakes and destroying islands, that's obviously one of the most impressive attacks and strongest attacks you can do. But because of the nature of his fruit and him taking so much damage, it's hard to say he wins outright one-on-one with most characters at that level because he's just physically taking it harder. And so it's hard to say, like, oh yeah, he could go. Like a Blackbeard via Akainu one-on-one fight, I'm like, I think Akainu has more endurance, and I think that matters.
Yeah. I
Then
do
he's
think there's a notable thing that, and I didn't catch this. I haven't read the official translation yet, so I'm kind of reading it real time right now. Luffy makes this comment, "How come nothing I do damages him?" to the Elder Star flying back.
This is on this page, right? I
Next
think it
page.
is. On next page. Oh yeah, let's see bounce back from this and then
Yeah. And so I think that should be notable. That's to me a kind of a notable line.
So I'm
That might be like a Lunarian thing.
it's either a Lunarian thing or and I hate to say I'm saying this not in the sense of I don't think it's copying, but I think maybe conceptually it's the same. And I wanted to go back and reread like the Orochimaru Third Hokage fight again because Orochimaru makes a comment where it's like because he's body hopped so much that he doesn't feel pain the same way everybody else does, which is why when he gets attacked. He kind of just shrugs everything off and he doesn't really feel damage until the third literally starts ripping his soul from him. And I'm curious if we think that the Elder Stars are immortal, do we think there is some human sacrifice along the line, which means, yes, this is Saturn, but this is like Saturn body number. And they are famous
Yeah.
for stacking up mad wives and husbands up there, Celestials, so they have. A
Yeah,
lot of humans.
they have a bunch of slaves to play around with.
And it's
Yeah,
like
Justin, I think I like that one a lot.
and I know Oda
Because
will slightly
it
change
goes
it.
with, I don't know if you would probably, right? But like I couldn't see it being that far off because we know that they have kind of like a demonic circle, and that's how they like fast travel. Oh man, I like that a lot that they use that they're like demon sacrificial. They're demons and they have to get. Yeah. That's cool. I like that a lot, actually. It nothing I do damages him. He doesn't feel pain.
He just keeps bouncing back.
He just bounces back.
And it's notable because, like, and this, I said this in the group text too, where I'm like, with to the Holy Night conversation, which we'll probably have after the chapter recap, is like, I think Kizaru is in a really, like, narratively, a really good place right now, because Kizaru is by no means, I know maybe he looks bad right now, but by no means is a bitch on any level. Like, Kizaru is one of, like, the 10 strongest characters actively walking, but this is literally a demon and a deity realized after 1,000 years. So yes, even though he is a monster of a human, even though he's got this insane fruit, he's a Navy admiral, at the end of the day, he is still a human. And there is certain limitations to a human versus Luffy's a realized deity who can do whatever the fuck he wants. And Saturn is this demonic thing. And it's like, yeah, humans don't get to play in this world. Like, this is just some shit that you can't, you know, you can't do even if you've eaten magic fruit.
He even goes, I'll make the summons. Yeah, that's so demon based.
And I don't think they're fruits.
I don't think they're fruits either. I think this is like a lost power, like something that we get in a Void Century conversation, but this is the fourth power that I've been talking about since like Whole Cake, where I'm like, souls are a power. Oh, and like, I don't think it's a coincidence that Brook got sent to an island where they were trying to do like summon the devil, right? And so this, I mean, this ain't hockey.
Oh no,
this ain't the devil fruit, this ain't hockey. So I wonder if it is kind of like spirit based or hell based or something.
Because it's interesting too, because like you could, because devil fruits might not be devil fruits.
It's true.
If the Gorosei and Imu are the actual evil of the world and they're the real demons and or devils, why would they not, when they have control of the world, because they're essentially realistically they're the bad guys who won. Right, like they got world domination, they took over, they did everything, and now all they're trying to do is just upkeep their world. So why not demonize the thing that was probably used to fight you however long ago, or during the, specifically for this story, 800 years ago during the Void Century? Like, why not demonize those and call them devil fruits? Who's going to tell you you're wrong? No one who's currently alive, like, what, our oldest character is Kureha, and she's like 120 something.
Yeah. No one is Void Century old except for Zunisha.
Yes. And so it's like, and potentially the robot, but it's like they have, so if they sit there and go like, oh, these are devil fruits, these are bad, it's like, are they devil fruits? We don't technically we don't have a way to identify their name.
Yeah. It depends on what D stands for. Cause I still think like,
I think it's Dawn.
The king. Right, I think the Kingdom of D was I'm still holding on to my theory that like the original kingdom with the D's in it, they all got turned into devil fruits.
Oh no, I agree, but I'm just not sure if they're, I think right now where my brain is going is like, A, I think Dawn is a keyword, so if I had to, not fully realizing a theory, but if I was a betting man, I had to put money on it right now, my D is for Dawn. And that these fruits, instead of being devil fruits, like, they were Dawn fruits because that's the kingdom they came from, and they were used to fight these Imu and, or whatever the fuck the girls say are going to end up being confirmed as. And it's like, you need powers to, you need powers to fight these freaky fucking things. Oh yeah, and then we get, this is a sick, this does not look like a One Piece panel, by the way, but it looks sick as fuck.
It doesn't look like a One Piece panel, yeah. I think, yeah, there is something about like being in the final saga where you're like, we're gonna introduce a new power that we've potentially teased. but like realistically, this is an entirely new ballpark. And I love, again, Luffy beating the person touted as the strongest emperor before the final saga was such a good call. Because then you get stuff like this where you're like, I think Luffy can fight at this level, but this is something I've never seen before in One Piece. So it's like, it's really rad.
It's also because there immediately became discourse online about like, and it's the only thing it's fun to talk about, but I've also disliked because One Piece has never been a battle manga by its nature, in my opinion. And so, yes, it's fun to play on the rooftop and all these things, but it's like just comparing power levels of who could fight who isn't the core of the story.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people are like, oh, is it going too far that he could fight five Elder Stars? I'm like, I don't think so, because there's always been natural progression of who he's fought, with the exception being like Hordy Jones, but that was a reset after the time break, and it was to prove how strong they are now. And Caesar, kind of, but Caesar was always a part of a... He was always a part of a mini boss to get to Doflamingo. And so now that you fought Kaido, who's the strongest one-on-one creature, it's like, okay, well, now you're basing up into the strongest team being these five guys. And these five are on record that they never really wanted smoke with Kaido or Shanks. So it's like, it's not impossible that if Luffy, where he's currently at, and I don't know how much longer Gear 5 is going to go, but where he in gear in this state, he is absolutely strong enough to fuck up all five of these old guys, because these five old guys were self-admitted. They could not beat Kaido. They could not beat Shanks. They don't mention Big Mom, but I think Big Mom just has gotten, she's gotten so much shit on for the last year. I don't think they could fuck with her either, but
I don't think they could fuck with Big Mom, especially if their power is soul based.
Oh, she might really fuck. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like I, again, people love to bag on Big Mom, but I'm like, underrated for whatever reason. She is so underrated in the community.
Oh yeah. I think it's only because Oda made her like a little too ditzy or childlike, but I'm like,
I don't think she really had her moment, right? So her big like terrifying, like her chasing the Straw Hats out of Whole Cake,
mm-hmm.
was like, oh, this is the power of an emperor, right? It's pretty terrifying. But like even then, like, and she was like hungry, so like theoretically we should have seen her at her best in Wano.
Mm-hmm.
But I think having to deal with Kaido and her, and obviously Luffy couldn't fight both of them,
yeah,
I don't know, like she got relegated to Law and Kid, and
which is wild because people shit, and I'm not the biggest Kid fan, but it's like, it doesn't really make sense for her to be shit on as hard as she was, and then everybody to shit on Kid as well. And it's like, Kid literally, like, and the fan base just loves Law, so Law's never going to get shit on. Law's just in a...
His power is so sick, dude. He's got too good of a power.
Yeah, but it's like, for them to both be knocked down to the levels they were post-Wano, to me, like I said, I'm not the biggest Kid supporter, but it's like, do we not understand, like, where this story was, like, just... an arc ago, like Doflamingo was the power class, literally the prior arc, and we have now just jumped like five levels to go to Emperors. And it's yeah. Like Kid fighting Big Mom the way he did, Kid and Law both doing that, like that is substantially stronger than Doflamingo, who wouldn't even dare like raise a finger to Kaido.
And so I also feel like Big Mom, like, she, I don't want to say they cheesed her, but she did kind of get cheesed in that fight, mm-hmm. where it was like, capture her homies in like a hockey clad cube and then push her off of Onigashima. And I was like, yeah, that makes sense to me. Yeah,
yeah, she's indestructible. You had to do something alternative.
Yeah, she's got dragon skin, right? So it's like, yeah, we're just gonna blaster into the ground from Onigashima. She gets I'm always going to be a Big Mom defender. Her power is nuts.
Oh, it's insane. It's an
And
art.
she has like the Luffy demeanor when it comes to food too. So like if she's full, she's unstoppable.
Like, and she, no, she's even better than Luffy because she literally gets stronger if she's full because she can concentrate, or she literally loses weight and reverts back to her prime. Like,
Yeah, she's so. I hope we see some more of her
before the
in
story's
this
over.
saga. Yeah, like I'd love to see Kaido and her again, but her specifically, I would love to get some form of redemption with.
There's a, I don't give the anime a lot of credit, but the anime, the way they portrayed her chasing the Straw Hats, like the fear is tangible. Like you watch, like, and you only really got to watch an episode. They actually do a decent job pacing it. But it's just her just because they're already getting, like, they're already running for their lives against all of her kids, and then you get the transformation and you're like, holy shit, that's how we're gonna get out of here. Like some, little otherworldly transformation. You're like, okay, we have room to breathe. And she just comes flying on fucking Zeus, and you're like,
Yeah.
oh no, we fucked. And then she lands on the Sunny, and it's like, oh, we fucked. And it's like,
Yeah.
you sometimes can't get that fear in pages, like when you're reading it. Anime for the Big Mom Chase, 10 out of 10. Y'all did. Shout out to you, Toei, and whoever worked on that. Like, that was genuinely a wonderful part of the anime, is watching her chase them down. And she's a fucking monster. She's like fucking 50 feet tall and has a flame sword and shoots lightning.
Yeah,
Like,
she's so cool, man. Very underutilized, in my opinion. But that's like, I also think that every instance of her coming in, like, she's goofy like Luffy, too, right?
Oh yeah.
Which is why I'm like, oh man, I want her to be an ally. I want her to be part of the Allied fleet so bad. I want her and Whole Cake to just be under the Straw Hat flag, because I'm like, when Frankie like hits her with the motorcycle, like he runs over her, I was like, that's like a like Luffy would get ran over by a motorcycle. You know what I mean? And it's like it has nothing to do with his strength. We don't stop hating. We don't call Luffy a fraud when if he got ran over.
Facts.
Like we would just be like, yeah, it's One Piece. That checks. The stronger you are, the goofier you are.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about shit. Like, she literally is, she's, and like, I don't even think she's, you said underutilized. I don't think she's underutilized or incorrectly utilized. I just think the, and you can never judge people's reaction or perception to a
Yeah,
character.
I agree.
And I'm not even here to say, like, I'm not calling her like the greatest character in fiction history, because to be topical, it's, but I think
History.
her, and like Blackbeard suffers from it a little bit too, is like, because they have the goofier designs, like, we just don't take them as serious, even though they essentially act, and I love Whitebeard, but they essentially act the same. Whitebeard just had a more traditionally cool design. And so it's like him not taking things as serious and him waiting until the last second to really like flex his power. It's, we think that's the coolest shit ever. Big Mom does it, and she's actually more terrifying when she flexes her power because she's angry the whole fucking time.
Yeah.
It's like, just because she's goofy, we don't see it the same. Like, is that, it's just, I just, like, One Piece fan base, listen, like, just talk to me. We just not like women? Is that it? Did we just not like women?
The answer is yes.
I'm just
But
like,
yeah, no one is more straight than the One Piece fan base as they hate women.
it's just like, she's goofy looking,
Because
fine. It's One Piece. They all fucking goofy looking. We have like four characters who look traditionally cool.
Kaido has no legs.
That's like the Kaido, like, people tell me
No way,
Kaido
sorry.
looks cool.
Kaido looked cool. Sorry. Kaido looked great. Queen had no legs.
Queen had no legs. Like, cool characters in One Piece is traditionally cool, I'll say that. So I think even amongst his Straw Hats, like, it's just Zoro in terms of just a traditionally cool looking character, right?
Usopp?
Amongst the emperors, right now, just Shanks. And if we're calling Mihawk an emperor, fine.
We're not, by the way.
Okay, cool. So just Shanks out of the emperors look, quote unquote, traditional cool.
Yeah, like that again, I appreciate One Piece because the four strongest people in the world are Shanks. Luffy doesn't look like Luffy in his wanted poster. Buggy the Clown. and Blackbeard with his fucking ugly ass, who needed the love fruit to be loved by people.
it's insane. Like, it's just, oh my gosh.
You ever feel so like, you ever have like you ever hold yourself in such low esteem that you have to like try and steal the fruit that makes everybody like you?
Foxy, I'm gonna make everyone so slow they can't run away from me.
My friends, they'll stay with me. Fuck, he awakens his fruit, everyone's fucked.
I will say this. The summon also makes me think, and I'll give the Gorosei some credit, that they always thought this was a possibility. Because I'm assuming this only works literally because it is a summon. One of them has to be there. And so I think they did have the contingency plan of, if we go to Egghead, we now know the Straw Hats are there, which means we know Luffy's there, which means we know Nique is there. If this does somehow turn really bad, one of us needs to be out there so that all of us can be out there. If, like, this is there, yo, break the case, hit the red button, that this was always potentially a part of the plan.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I don't think they ever wanted to use it, but it, you know, it is what it is. When there's a literal giant Nika throwing shit at you and he just tossed her out Admiral like a frisbee, it's like, okay, guys, break the case. We have hit, sound the alarms. It's all gone wrong. I am excited for this fight, though. I think this fight's going to be really... This fight's going to be... I wonder if they're going to talk. Like...
Yeah, like... This is why I think the announcement that Vegapunk's going to give is footage of Nika doing things. So, like, he's going to say... Like, the Gorosei coming here and getting broadcasted potentially to the whole world is going to be huge. Egghead getting potentially destroyed is probably going to be the least huge thing that happens. But, I think this is all what this arc has turned into is Nika has returned to the world. We're going to tell the world that. Luffy has no fucking clue what that means, nor does he really care. But we are going to, I think we're going to get a pretty solid explanation of what the Gum Gum Fruit is in the next few chapters.
This is technically now.
Because I wouldn't be surprised if, like, we learn what the drawbacks are, and then Elbaf is where we need to,
like,
recoup and figure it out. Or even, like, I said this, I thought this would be kind of interesting too. Maybe Luffy gets, like, I mean, taken out of the story for a bit, like, and the rest of the Straw Hats have to, like, have to have their adventure in Elbaf, you know.
I am just want to make sure I have this like correct. Okay, I'm not finding the exact quote. So right now, this is kind of, It's very convenient you're reading Marineford right now. So Whitebeard's last thing he gets to say before he finally checks out is he tells Sengoku, I know y'all are scared because you're scared of the guy who's going to start the war that's going to throw everyone into it. The Elder Stars are fighting for, I'm going to say generously, the first time since the Void Century.
Yeah.
The giant pirates just got reestablished in the world for the first time in 100 years. Nika is now back for the first time in 800 years. Like, everybody who was everybody back then, like, there's no escaping this kind of fight. Like, this isn't, we've talked a lot over the last few years of, like, the government almost benefited that Kaido was passive, Big Mom was passive, Shanks was passive, Whitebeard at the end of his life was passive. Like, no, Luffy is the most active SOB ever, and it's like, there's no escaping this. I don't think Egghead is going to turn into the final war. Like, I to me, that's still like escalating one more step, which is kind of,
I don't think Egghead, I don't think Egghead would be the final war. This is the start of everything.
Yeah, this is, I this still be a declaration of war.
I still think we get a whole arc on Elbaf. Like, I think, like,
do you think they bring the war to Elbaf? Because where do you fight? Like, I don't think we can just reuse Marineford or New Marineford as, like, the site for the new battle. This, because it only really worked thematically because they had already kidnapped Ace. I don't want another kidnapping story at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, if at the end of this, at the end of Egghead, if the conclusion is this is war against the world government in the truest sense, we are going to hunt you down, and they see them escape with the giant pirates, and no one's gonna be able to chase them, because by the fight that's about to happen is going to hinder everyone to the point where they can't keep going, right? We don't have a definitive winner, but everyone's not, no one's gonna be able to keep fighting. And if they say, like, yo, we will bring the fight to Elbaf, which is the island of war, they're war people, like, they literally are, they literally said that's all their god does. They're like, yo, we prayed Elbaf, who's the god of war. And it's like, what if our final fight is on Elbaf?
I don't know. I figured it was gonna be on, like, I don't know if Elbaf is a good spot for it. I feel like, I mean, that would be cool.
I'm just trying to think of where, like, where do you put all these people? If we have giants, elder stars, emu, new world, the Straw Hat fleet, presumably all of our worst generation, like, where do you put all of these people to fight? Like, in this massive ass war, and it could be technically multiple islands. This is just so many people we have at this point. Like, I'm also assuming Elbaf is probably the biggest island in the world just because it naturally houses giants. So,
it could be Elbaf. It's, I never thought of it that way, but I wouldn't actually be mad if they had to go back to Elbaf to fight this war. Or even if it's like, that's a home base where everything goes. Because I don't think the final war is happening anytime soon.
So I don't think the war starts. I just think that I think the declaration.
This is a linchpin for what I think. Because once this is broadcasted, this is going to destabilize everything. So the revolutionaries start to come back in. Like, I mean, the Elder Stars might beat Luffy, and that's the other thing too. It's like, oh, we don't need to chase after. We know the Straw Hats escaped with the giants. They might have gone to Elbaf, but the fruit's dead or something. I'm like, Nika's on a reset or whatever.
Do we?
And so they don't pursue them. I still think we go. There's going to be an adventure in Elbaf. There's going to be an adventure on Pirate Island. And then they're going to hit the last island on the Grand Line before going to Laugh Tale.
So,
because I think, holy shit.
Do we think Laugh Tale is an arc? Just
I figured Laugh Tale was going to be where the final war would happen. Like, Joy Boy showing up on that island triggers something, and then it is suddenly, like, there and people can find it. And so that's where I always figured it would take place.
I we don't really I I only ask, I know this is kind of just, this is off the top of my head, so this isn't pre-planned. I almost wonder, because we only saw Roger for like 2 seconds, and we only get the one page or one panel of him just going, ah, I wish I was born at a different time, and then he laughs. And so I'm wondering if, like, is the Laugh Tale going to be simply a destination? Like, once you, like, Luffy's gonna hit that, and I don't know. I've never thought of Laugh Tale as like, I think I've always inherently thought, oh yeah, that's the final arc. But now I'm not even sure if it's the final arc. Because too, you know who really could come, and I know this is repeating storylines, but like, out of everybody who could show up, like, Shanks makes a lot of sense right now.
Do we want another person to show up?
And I'm not saying I
The
do. I'm just like, I
Giants are
am.
doing things right now, man.
They are, but I'm like,
Who
okay,
else
so.
needs? How many Deus Ex Machinas do I need?
I
And
just,
then
it's.
Dragon
No, Dragon ain't doing
teleports
shit. No,
using.
Dragon ain't doing shit. But
He
the
teleports using the Gorosei's power. And then we
Oh
get to
shit.
mark that off the fucking bingo card.
Dragon using the Gorosei's powers to teleport. No, I just because he's and I hate this because this is I understand what I'm about to say is completely it's already been done, it's reused, so I'm not Shanks does technically make sense. And that's where like my brain right now I'm a little fucked up on is like we know the connection with the Giants, we know some kind of connection with the Gorosei and the obvious connection to Luffy. And it's like if we think because like I ask you, like if the Gorosei beat Luffy, is it like Avatar style where like Aang loses at the end of book two, but it's lose, retreat, and he's just I forget how many months he's actually out for, how long he's out for before he wakes up, but like and then he's fucked up from the Avatar state. Is it like that kind of loss, or is it like how would you if the Gor and I because I don't need the Gorosei win. I'll be on record for that. I don't think
I
they
don't think
win.
they. Okay.
But if they were to win, what's like the style of like how would that go down in your mind?
I think it'd go down similar to Aang getting lightninged and like needing a few months to recover. But I do think this is the time for the robot to come in. Because I think
Oh, the
'cause
old run. Okay. I
the
was.
robot responds to
The literal
the
demons of hell coming out.
yeah. I think it'd also be interesting if Bonnie commanded Kuma to protect Nika.
Oh, I think Kuma shot. I think I wouldn't be mad at that.
I don't think Kuma's fucked yet, but like I think yeah, I think it'd be really interesting to have Kuma come in. I'm also really holding out for Vivi showing up and finding the fruit. So I'm
I
also
mean,
really holding out for that. And I'm like, Vivi and Morgan show up and they find the corpse of Kuma. And a little devil fruit flower has propped out from his corpse, and it's just there. And then she eats it and then teleports herself to Elbaf.
does okay. What do we think would be the world's reaction to the telecast from Vegapunk? And in context with the other major announcements we have, so it's like Roger says, "Yo, my treasure's over there," starts the Great Pirate Era.
This starts the whole revolution. This will be the catalyst for the war that breaks out, because every single country will s rebel against its kings and thing, its royalty.
Because they're all in bed with the Gorosei, who they now all know are
Yeah,
demons.
like
Even though.
the only exception will be Alabasta, because they Alabasta knows that Princess Vivi didn't make it home.
Also, technically, it'll be all the kingdoms Luffy's visited. Because
Will
Dressrosa won't do it.
Dressrosa won't.
Where else do we
Fishman
have?
Island won't.
Yeah, Alabasta,
Sakura
Dressrosa,
Kingdom
Fish.
won't.
The Drum Kingdom won't. I feel like we're missing
That's
one.
Sakura Kingdom.
Oh, you're right, you're right, you're right, you're
Tee hee
right.
ha ha.
Luffy's hometown? They would,
Go
yeah, because
Goa
they're
would, yeah.
Go Wood, their monarchy. Usopp's not from a kingdom, but I mean, I don't think they're gonna fucking go murder his homegirl.
No, I figured.
Water 7 won it. Water 7 doesn't even have, they just have a mayor, right? Iceberg's just a
Yeah,
mayor.
it's just a bear. But and he might have converted the dude. Water Seven's showing up at this final war. I'm pretty sure he converted that city into a ship.
Oh, absolutely, because it was supposed
Yeah.
to fuck. What was, I think they gave us a timeline, but it's supposed to drown
Water
after a while.
Seven. Yeah, Water Seven and Thriller Bark are gonna show up at the final war. And I'm fucking here for it. You're a
Oh
fool if
shit.
you think I'm wrong.
Technically, you know, actually, what's interesting, the only non-kingdom kind
Baratie is
of
gonna show
that won't overthrow its king is Hachinosu.
This it doesn't have one.
I mean, he's trying. He might be by the time, by the, we don't know what has happened. Blackbeard has had now
Dude,
24
Blackbeard.
hours and a teleporting man to help him do a lot over the, like, he whooped Law like a day ago. And he literally has a dude on his
Bro,
crew who could teleport.
Justin not saying yesterday is crazy.
I'm aware, but still, fuck you. It's
Yeah,
like, so Blackbeard technically could be in the midst of, like, he could have got a lot of shit done while this was all popping off.
mean, he's gotten a lot of shit done while this is popping off. Let's be honest. He
No,
has
that's, yeah, that's
Garp
what I'm
the
like.
hero, and like they have the ability to turn into Saturn now with Katarina.
Also, probably Luffy. I think she touched Luffy. I think she's the one that got him food because he was the perfect distraction for them. And I think he can get Luffy. I think she can literally turn into Luffy.
That's yeah, we were saying Mudman
I was very excited for Mudman.
was who brought the food to Luffy. No, it was fucking Van Auger.
Yeah.
He just teleported the food. Yeah.
It's even like if you go and look at the panel too, it's because Kizaru's reaction. And it's only because there's, it only works for Kizaru, but the way he always looks is it always looks quick, even though he's slow. He's slow by nature. His fruit just makes him insanely fast. But like even he kind of just looks up for like a quick glance, and it's like, oh, Kizaru must have done it because he moves so fast. It's like, no, it's the only other character in this series that could move as fast as him, and he was just shocked someone moves that fast. You
Yeah,
probably
but
don't realize he moves that
technically,
fast.
I was like technically faster, right? Because it's teleporting.
I'm gonna
Here
say
we
yes.
go.
There's
Here we
I'm just gonna say
go.
yes. There's a I'm not gonna have this convo, but like yes, there's some conversation between like the speed of light and teleporting. But yes, I'm gonna say Van Auger for spurts moves faster. The funnier one that'll act that potentially could come up is like who moves faster, light or lightning. But that's once again until I see Enel, I'm like.
Probably maybe light, I think.
I
I
mean,
think
like,
because
are they
lightning,
tied?
they are both light. That is
That's
true.
some like.
But I feel like one of them is a plasma and the other is a refraction, right? Like,
I don't know. Enel's fruit is still. I hope it comes back. We don't spend a lot of time talking about Enel anymore. But I'm like, his fruit is just too cool for me to keep out of the final saga, and so I hope he comes back. Lightning is just a insane fucking power.
Enel
Even if they
brings.
kill him and give it to somebody else, like I just need that fruit to exist again.
Right, hear me out.
Go for it. Give it to a
Water
giant.
Seven, Thriller Bark, and the Moon show up in the final saga or in the final war in One Piece. And it literally, yeah, the whole world converges on Laugh Tale. The whole universe converges on Laugh Tale.
Man, look, if I see the moon start to move, we win. One Piece fans are eating good in 2029, probably.
It's not that far away, honestly.
Yeah, you know,
six years we get the war.
We'll be 36. One Piece. Do you think, here we go. Got a few more minutes here. Do we think One Piece ends before we're 40?
Yeah.
Yeah, the thing about it is like, with yes. The caveat being that Oda will stay healthy throughout. That if Oda's healthy throughout and no more like medical breaks, that he will be done with One Piece by the time we're 40.
I think so. I think we'll be like 38 when One Piece finishes. We will have enough money to buy two dumpsters in San Diego to live in. And at least one child between the both of us.
And every volume of One Piece in said dumpsters with us. You gotta be entertained somehow.
Well, I figured you need a bedroom and then a baby needs a bedroom.
Nah,
what better place for a baby than a trash can? So.
Oh shit. Man, this is a good fucking chapter. It's so Oda to just it. I'm not even mad at it, but it's like you get these moments and then it's just like break next week, and it's those hurt. And we were talking about the beginning of the episode of like you get once you realize, okay, you got other shit to do and you get past that initial feeling, but then when you wake up and you're like, oh, it's Thursday, oh what, oh no, next week, and then it's like you have to relive that 5 minutes of agony of like no chapter this week.
This is why I read a few when all of them are on break. That's when I'm like, guess I'll kill myself.
In our last 2 minutes here, I wanted to ask you, because we haven't really talked about it on microphones very much. I think JJK, I've said, it really, really, really needs some Sukuna clarification in terms of either a backstory or some kind of lore drop, in my opinion. I don't hate where it's going. I've actually enjoyed it a lot.
You're frozen, yeah.
Oh, what about now?
He's dead. Am I still frozen?
What the fuck? No. Tell me when you can hear me. I'm just going to keep randomly.
He doesn't want to talk about Sukuna.
Oh.
The universe does not want to talk about Sukuna.
Let's see. Give it a second. What about now? Can you hear me now? Am I alive? Am I alive? Nope. Am I still dead? Really?
God, it's catching up.
Okay.
I'm looking at you. Here we go.
Am I stable?
Yeah, you've stabilized.
Okay.
He had to fight for 24 frames a second.
I got cursed. It was curse technique. He did slow internet.
Sukuna said, you're about to shit talk the god.
But like, I guess we'll do a little bit more of it. We'll obviously get to deep dive it more next week, because JJK doesn't have a break.
Which is how so, do you, I'm so stoked.
How do you feel about the current trajectory of the ending of JJK?
I don't think Jake's really disappointed. I'm really not, mainly because the anime is what got me into this.
Mm-hmm.
And
it looks sick animated.
Just knowing what got covered in that first season, all of Shibuya got covered in like what, 11 episodes, right? So like, this is gonna be so awesome, so fun, dude.
Mm-hmm.
I also think I don't see a difference from Sukuna and the Nine-Tailed Fox. I personally, they, to me, they are And yeah, the only difference is Naruto ended, so I know exactly everything about the Nine-Tailed Fox. But up until like I mean, basically Luffy got a handle on it, we really didn't get and then the pure like just power gap between 9 and 8. I'm just kind of like I know Jake's big complaint is that he doesn't like this. He doesn't like the power creep of it, and like he's so insane and this and that, like out of nowhere almost, when from the literal start my interpretation was, what if Kurama was just an evil entity? Like,
oh, Minato saved that story. That I've never,
you know,
the time I didn't think that much of it, but him literally being like, I thought when he first was like, oh, I split the nine tails in half, I kind of in real time I thought that was stupid. And then I went back when I rewatched and read the beginning of Naruto, I'm like, oh, he literally saved his life, because there's no way a young Naruto handles all of Kurama. Like, he literally, he rips him apart.
No one can fucking handle all of Kurama. Are you kidding? Like, Luffy's mom is, again, mom. Another under, or sorry, Naruto's mom, under fucking rated character. She was giving birth with that thing in her. And to the point where they were like, look, this is going to weaken the seal for you to have a child. And she was like, yeah, no shit. I have 2 nuclear bombs inside of me. And then Minato goes, I'll take one of them and put it in hell.
Pretty much.
And it's still stronger. Half of Naruto. This is the other thing too. Half of the Nine-Tailed Fox is stronger than 1 through 8 combined. And we're going to complain that Sukuna having another trap card in his hand is strange. It's the same thing, dude. Like,
I'm cool with all that. What I think, and so, and I always said Naruto is like, at its core, is like Kishimoto does moments really well. And so I think the problem is like the Obito fight, when we first get like the tailed beast names and like the real connection starting to form, like that is such a moment. And I think if you were to go one for one translating, like, okay, it's everybody versus Sukuna, this is when we're supposed to get like that moment to make us feel a way about it. And it's like, I agree with you. It's literally just not over. So we don't know yet if this is going to be the moment. It's,
you know, what's super interesting to me about this though.
Hmm.
And I don't even think it's dick writing. It's the ice person's, whose name is I'm blanking on right now.
Don't ask about JJK character names.
They straight up go, even considering the effects of the early fighting, I can see that Lord Sukuna still isn't taking this fight seriously, which means they've seen Sukuna fight all out.
Oh yeah.
Which means I would really like to see what pushed Sukuna to go all out. If it wasn't Gojo and it wasn't insert what's happening to him over the last few chapters, what made him go all out? And I think it ties into what his curse technique is. I think he's definitely like a all for one situation in My Hero Academia, where he was just absolutely nuts and then was able to compound someone whose power was absolutely nuts and then combined those two into whatever he is now. So like, it's gonna come. We're gonna get a fucking backstory.
No, it's
right. I'm like, you guys are getting dessert first. It's like,
no, I'm
stop
sad.
Crying. I'm like, you're crying for vegetables here.
I am enjoying this. Like I said, I will, and I just, it's in my caveat for the last 4 or 5 months now, however long we've been since the Gojo fight, is I'm like, look, all this stuff, it's, yes, there is a world where he doesn't close this correctly. And I'm assuming, and I don't have context here, I'm just going off of secondhand stuff you and Jacob told me, because I got 8 episodes in and that was all I could handle. That, I, how the fuck you say homie's character, Quincy Man from Bleach, is that his story wasn't finished correctly. And that's what ruins those kind of characters. It's not the fact that you can't be this all-powerful, otherworldly, batshit crazy motherfucker. It's like, But your ending, when it does end, like, did it make sense? And as long as Sukuna makes sense by the end of it, and it doesn't have to be the most, I'm not asking him to be whoever you think is the most, like, cleverly written villain of all time.
I don't think he will be.
I don't think he will be either. I just want, kind of like you said, I would love to see, I compare him right now a lot to, we're doing Naruto, which is like, he feels like Madara. And it's like, okay, Madara never went all out. You don't, you like, Madara says, I don't go all out when he's facing the five Kage. And you're like, dog, what the fuck do you mean you're not going all out? Like, you've done at this point, batch. And then we get the flashback and you're like, I understand. I apologize. I was unfamiliar with your game. I get it. You weren't going all out. And I just kind of, and if I see that, because Madara is not a super in-depth character. He's just batshit strong, has crazy eyes, and has this relationship with Hashirama. That's it. And he thinks the world's fucked up, like every other fucking character in that story. So it's like, if Sukuna is at least that or something like comparable, I'm straight. Like, that's all I really need to know. To know that, okay, cool. They delivered on the character that was Sukuna. He's the big bad. This is what he did in the past during his time. We already know how he extended his life. And that's really it. And that, to me, will be good enough for me to say, like, yo, JJK had a good ending. Unless, yeah, he totally shits the bed and doesn't do it, fine. When it's all said and done, I'll say, yeah, ending wasn't great.
I think JJK is going to be so good. Like, I think... It's hard to compare it to One Piece because it's like is a battle manga and the other is not a battle manga, even though they are both classified as battle manga. This is like, as the guy that read Bleach week to week, I can tell you right now, I wasn't this fucking excited.
that's
like, and it's effectively doing a similar thing as what was going on in Bleach, where it's like, in every chapter there's a power up and you're like, something like that is happening. The difference, though, is that this is one fight versus 20 fights,
mm-hmm.
which is the ending of Bleach, right?
Yeah.
And things that are wrapped up in that will and or would be wrapped up in an episode. So 15 episodes of just maybe even half episodes, you know what I mean, of like, mm-hmm. hey, these one-off fights, no, this is one fight.
Not
and he's holding up to his name of King of Curses. Like, if he went down, you want to talk about a fraud, like, is he would go down to, he would go all out and lose to a Maki surprise attack, you know?
That it's, I'll say this to close out, polarizing examples, because they're very, one's a very PG and one's a very rated R. But if you look at what Eren is at the end of Attack on Titan, and whoever's, is Leon the final champ in Pokemon before the end of Ash's story? Okay. You already had the basis for why those two guys were strong. And so I know we're getting this in kind of a little bit of a reverse order, but it's like, you didn't need this crazy Leon backstory to justify him being like the final champion. And even when Eren, like, once the rumbling started, it was like, we kind of know what the fuck the rumbling is. It's like, yo, a lot of people are going to die. We got mad colossal titans, and we know at the core of it is Eren, and somebody got to die, and most likely needed to be Eren, even going into it. It's like, he's probably the one that's got to die because he's the one responsible for all this shit. And it's like, you just need those few clues, and then it's cool to just let the crazy person be the crazy person. And then those I don't mind being like, quote unquote, shonen moments, where it's like, yes, Sukuna, probably spoiler, Sukuna is probably going to die before the story's over. Congrats. Like, yeah. I, you know,
but he is Gigi's favorite.
He ain't going out like a bitch.
He's Gigi's favorite character, if I've ever seen one. I'm like, nobody hates Yuji more than Gigi. So like, he was like, I'm trying to write my villain takes over the world story.
Absolutely. Like,
I want that shit, he said.
and who knows? And this is one of those things that's like, it's going to take a lot of balls to do this. Yeah, I got dinner ready. It's going to take a lot of balls to do this, but like, what if your boy just said, fuck it? I am going to have the first shonen that kind of ends with the bad guy wins, or at least went neutral. Like, what if he does just take everybody out with him at the end? Like, what if we just... So, like, Attack on Titan kind of drew this line where it was like, we are removing all Titans permanently. Which, depending on who you want to ask and viewpoints, there's an argument for who, quote-unquote, wins at the end of Attack on Titan. And so... maybe he does want Sukuna to give this alternative ending that we've never seen before. And it's like that itself will take balls. It'll take really good execution to pull it off. But I say it with One Piece all the time. There's a reason why these guys are the ones that are making millions of dollars writing these stories and that the rest of us are reading and reacting to them. Because for the most part, not saying everyone's perfect, but for the most part, these guys are all exceptional writers, even if they suffer at parts of their stories due to fatigue or whatever the case may be. So it's like, enjoying the fuck out of JJK. Jake, chill out. We love you, but chill the fuck out. With that being said, I appreciate everybody, as always, at italklot9080, the Shadow Riley on Instagram, Bramble Bear on Instagram. Go check us out, YouTube, TikTok, wherever you listen to podcasts. This is Hard Phone Network. This is A&M Podcast. We will see you guys next week with some more JJK talk because we're on break next week. Hurts the soul.
Peace out, dudes.